Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Was just in our boss's office talking about the last hour, and he was just losing it because it was just such amazing radio. So thanks to everyone who called in and everyone on the cast, and especially Andrew, taking a lot of crap online. And I disagree with a lot of things he said, but I certainly appreciate him putting his thoughts and opinions out there. Can always count on him for that. My guest live in studio, Chris, can we say your last name?
I don't know.
Okay, Chris O'Leary, who called in yesterday to talk about the Catholic Church and let's let priests marry and what it has anything to do with the church scandal and the molestation of kids, and then contacted, I guess, Rach after work and said, hey, I would love to come in and talk about this. So here he is. So you are a victim of abuse at the hands of a priest.
Right.
And I'm just going to let you go from there and to your level of comfort. Tell us your story.
So in the late, this dates back to the late 70s or so. I'm 51. In the late 70s at the Church of the Immaculata, which is in St. Louis, Richmond Heights, right by the Galleria, I was sexually exploited, abused, assaulted, raped by a priest named Father Leroy Valentine. And then when I went to the Archdiocese of St. Louis for help starting in 2002, that's when things got really bad. So basically the story starts, and I'll name one name for later purposes, but so my first memory of Immaculata is 1976, Father Dolan, now Cardinal Timothy Dolan, came to Immaculata. I remember him because he, during one of our religion classes, he did a lesson on Mark 8, 22 to 26, which is Jesus heals the blind man, but he has to do it two times, which apparently is a thing, because as a Catholic, I was taught Jesus just made a mistake, but apparently you can't. Some people don't like the fact that the interpretation of that is Jesus made a mistake. But I remember that story because Dolan picked me to play Jesus. And then a year later, a guy named Father Leroy Valentine graduates from the seminary. Gregarious guy, loved kids, boys especially. So I immediately, in confession, they introduced a new idea called face-to-face confession. I didn't like the dark, scary room confession, so I went to Father Valentine because he's very friendly and huggy and all that kind of stuff.
How old were you at this point?
I would be 10 or 11, somewhere around there. So this would be the fall of 77. And he would start, would do stuff to me under the guise of hugging. You know, my head would end up in inappropriate places, that kind of stuff, all during face-to-face confession. And that's one of the things that's scary is that form of face-to-face confession is still going on, which is one of the reasons why I want to come in and talk about this. You know, there's stuff that has to change, and that's one of the problems with a lot of denial is they're not actually fixing the problem because they won't admit the problem. So the way the face-to-face confession was, it was two chairs in a room with a closed door, and then the curtains were pulled over the cry room, and he would do stuff. What he did to me wasn't as bad as what he did to some of the other people, but, you know, it was bad enough. And then that progressed into, he was doing stuff with altar boys. I was in the fourth grade and not an altar boy at the time, but he had us over for a party where we would play Risk and eat pizza and that kind of stuff. And I remember he would kind of take us out one at a time, testing us, grooming us, that kind of thing, trying to figure out who he was interested in. Then it gets into what I call special training, where he would set it up. So, and it was like 50 years ago to the day. This is a terrible time of the year for me, but you know, whatever, get it done. he would have this special training where it would just be him and me, and I would serve a mass. Normally there'd be two or three guys serving the mass, but he would set it up so it was just him and me. And then he would do things to me in the back of the rectory. The clearest memory that I have, and I've always had this memory, but I didn't understand what it meant, is he showed me how to refill the bowls with the hosts. And I remember focusing in on doing that task. And he's doing stuff to me with, you know, with his hands and that kind of stuff. And then that progressed into somehow I ended up in the basement of the rectory and the worst stuff happened.
Chris, did you forget it for a while or have you always?
I've always remembered a lot of it, but I didn't understand what it meant. That's one of the reasons I believe myself is because I don't have much in terms of repressed memories. A lot of the stuff I've always remembered, I just didn't understand it, or I was just kind of like stupidly naive about it.
Yeah. What, if you can remember, what were you feeling and thinking at the time?
To a large degree, I was so focused on the task that I wasn't feeling anything else. I just didn't want to spill the hosts onto the floor because that's a terrible thing. So I'm focused on, we've got these cylindrical tubes of hosts and I've got the bowl in front of me and I'm working really hard and at making sure that all the hosts end up in the bowl because it would be sacrilegious otherwise. And, you know, and I was, you know, in this time frame, this is like Empire Strikes Back time frame. So spoiler alert, I'm still processing the fact that Luke Skywalker is the son of Darth Vader. You know, that was a major...
You're not thinking like a grown-up.
Right, right.
Is this guy a known, like, other people have accused him, and it's very openly known about this Father Valentine?
Yeah, because, and that's how we get to kind of the next stage in the story. In 2002, a New York Times piece ran, and then a lot of the local media picked up the story about Valentine. That was about three brothers, and then the Archdiocese and the Circuit Attorney's Office both set up hotlines. I called in the Circuit Attorney, Jennifer Joyce. They never called me back. I don't know what happened there. But so then I called into the Archdiocese, and by then Bishop Dolan, now Cardinal Dolan of New York, called me back. Hey, Chris, Tim Dolan, Bishop Dolan, how you doing? Been a long time. And I told him basically the same memories I told you, and I said, do you think this stuff that they're saying about Father Valentine is true? Because I had these memories, which with a parent's hat on really seems kind of hinky. But I had a newborn, like my youngest child at the time was literally a week old. So, you know, I had baby brain, you know, just, and I didn't want it to be true. And he said, no. And this is without any investigation. Dolan told me, I lived with Valentine at the seminary. We're at the seminary together for a couple of years. We lived together and worked together at Immaculata. I know that Leroy Valentine didn't do any of the things that he's accused of. I know that he could never have done anything to hurt a child. And that was good enough for me. He did refer me to a psychologist that he sold as independent, but I believe she was Nancy Brown, who was the assistance coordinator. She also told me nothing happened. So I just walked away from it in 2002 thinking that nothing happened and that my memories didn't mean anything.
So at this point, you're in your early 30s.
Yeah, yeah. Probably mid-30s or so. Well, I don't want to talk about how old I am.
Do you think when you spoke to them, you were...
You already said it.
You were hoping for a certain answer? Like, you were hoping for them to tell you that you were wrong?
I think I was.
Yeah. Because did you have a good relationship with him other than the abuse?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I felt very special. He had a way of making you feel special, and I thought that the stuff that he was doing to me was, he was kind of singling me out, and it was a big deal because you've got a priest taking special interest in you, and that's a big deal, and that's
felt important,
right? Exactly.
So, not to skip parts, but I'm just curious, what was the ultimate with Father Valentine? Did he ever get caught or prosecuted?
He was permanently removed in May 2013. I was never notified, or the Archdiocese never contacted me. So essentially, what happened is, so 2003, my oldest son makes his first confession. I have a panic attack completely out of the blue. And I put it behind me. You know, Dolan told me nothing happened. Nancy Brown told me nothing happened. I'm going on with my life. And then I have a panic attack in 2003 when my older son makes his first confession. 2005, I have another panic attack when my older daughter makes her first confession. I'm like,
what's going on?
All right, what's going on? Dolan told me nothing happened. So then I ended up getting sick, psychologically sick, in 2005, 2006, lost my job in 2007, basically lost everything by 2009, went to a psychologist, and we started talking about stuff and trying to deal with stuff, but we didn't talk about the Valentine stuff for a couple of years, because again, Dolan had told me nothing happened. But by 2011, I'd run out of, I don't understand, you know,
other stuff.
I'd explored all these diagnoses, Asperger's syndrome and ADHD and all this kind of stuff.
And just so people understand, a simple Google search on Father Leroy Valentine will show you the long rap sheet that this guy has.
Yeah, this is,
and even back up completely Chris's timeline of him being at Immaculata in the late 70s and all the shifting around he did through churches, mostly in the St. Louis area throughout the 70s and 80s.
So,
and
just 90s. To be clear, any sort of controversy or disagreement isn't over whether this guy was a good guy or a bad guy.
Correct.
Everyone now agrees he was a bad guy.
Yeah, it's well documented that this guy was a monster.
Right. So what controversy or disagreement is there still?
Well, so in 2011, I went to the Archdiocese, not knowing exactly what, but my point was, are you guys sure that this stuff doesn't mean anything? And again, they told me, no, it doesn't mean anything. Nothing happened. It's all your dad's fault. But then, and this is the worst, in May 2013, they permanently removed Dolan or removed Valentine without telling me, without notifying me. It was my psychologist who had to call me and say, hey, because you should be careful when you read the paper because they just removed Valentine. But they never, you know. And so from 2011 on, I'd been trying to get help, and they just refused to help me. It was just stonewalling and gaslighting and lying and stringing me along, that kind of stuff. Their whole process is it's a sham. So 2013, they removed Valentine. They never notify me, which obviously messed me up. 2014, under legal proceedings, they were under court order. They were ordered to produce a list of allegations. My allegation wasn't in the Matrix, which was put out in January 2014. I ended up filing a lawsuit in October 2015, but that had to be dismissed for statute of limitations reasons. And, you know, now I'm just kind of on my own, just trying to get the word out so nobody goes through what I went through.
Do you want, there are people calling. You want to talk to them?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We're here with Chris O'Leary, who was abused by a priest and sounds like at minimum was kind of gaslighted by the Catholic Church about it, and is here to talk about that. 314-241-9797. Quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We're here with Chris O'Leary, who is a victim of abuse at the hands of a priest who has since, has he been defrocked?
He's been permanently removed.
Okay.
But which does not mean defrocked, as far as I know.
Okay. And Dave, are you there? Hello, Dave.
There he is. I'm here.
Hey, yes. Let's do a quick weather and we'll get back to Chris.
Sounds good. Not much going on around St. Louis right now. We've got a couple of thunderstorms just starting to form between Farmington and Carbondale. Off to our south, big action way up to our north and way off to our east. Struggling across the St. Louis area. I still think we'll see some showers and thunderstorms as we go through the late afternoon and into the evening. But at the same time, I think we might get this ball game in, and any other evening plans will probably be okay. Tomorrow is a gorgeous day. Partly sunny skies, certainly by late morning and throughout the afternoon. Some clouds early. About 80 degrees for the high. Very comfortable day. Tons of sunshine. Friday, first day of summer. It feels like summer, hot, somewhat humid in the afternoon, near 90 degrees, couple of pop thunderstorms, but mainly a partly sunny day. Saturday, hot and humid. Temperatures probably about 92, 93 degrees, pop afternoon thunderstorms again, and a pretty good shot of rain and thunderstorms Sunday morning. And Sunday is still kind of hot and humid, hanging around 90 degrees. So summer is ready to come.
Cool. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
So, Chris, you were saying on the break, Archdiocese, not a fan of yours, said a lot of bad things. Right. So preempt that. What sort of things will they say?
Well, it's your standard smear campaign. You know, saying they've kind of sort of admitted it to me privately, but then 2 months later, in a piece in which I went public in the Aisha Sultan piece, they told the people of St. Louis that I was lying. As a result, I'm being shunned by my parish and everybody I know. And there's also, they've made, when I wouldn't stop talking to them, they called the police on me twice, alleging the first time that I had made terroristic threats and sicked the Shrewsbury police on me. And they will do anything.
So you're still Catholic?
Yes. Yes.
And what do you mean your parish has shunned you? Like, are you, if you went in there Sunday, would they kick you out?
Well, nobody will talk to me and everybody throws me the stink eye.
So here's what I don't understand. If it's pretty common knowledge that this guy did it.
Right.
Why are you singled out as, but I bet this kid's lying.
Yes.
So that's not, it's not impossible. You could be the one kid that made it up, but it's not like this guy has a squeaky clean reputation.
Well, I think that they've done a good job of keeping people quiet. And I know of a number of people who I've asked. I've talked to some other people of the press trying to get the story out. And people will not talk to the press, even on background, for reasons, some of which are, you know, oh, but the church does so much good. And some people just don't want to talk about it. I think maybe because of survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people understand, partly from watching Spotlight, that the church can and will do anything to try to punish and silence survivors. I'm in a unique position where I've literally lost everything, which sucks, but it puts me in a really powerful position because I have literally nothing to lose. And I should say that for the police who are listening, I mean that in the sense of the truth will out. I will tell the truth. I'm not making any threats against any member of the Archdiocese of St. Louis.
Is there any credibility to them saying that you made threats? I mean,
no, I mean, what? Well, and I've actually, Sandra Price of the Archdiocese of St. Louis recently, 3 months ago in a meeting, confirmed that she didn't think the allegations were as significant as some people said. And there was a full investigation. I've got the police report from Shrewsbury. They didn't find anything. They went to judges and judges refused to issue warrants, you know.
What did they say you did?
They said I made terroristic threats. I threatened an assassination against the Archbishop. There was an event. There was something that happened when I was contemplating going forward. I got scared and I got nervous because one guy, another survivor, a Baptist, DM'd me and said, just understand that if you go public, there can be retributions. There can be people who can take things into their own hands. So your personal safety could be in jeopardy. Now, some of that was just me being mentally ill, dealing with mental illness and paranoia and that kind of stuff. I had a plan. It was a stupid plan. But, you know,
hurt yourself or someone else?
No, I was just trying to protect myself. Okay. I was just hunkered down in my house, trying to protect myself. And then there are tweets out there. You can find them where I'm like, if someone decides to do something stupid, I want to make sure that they do it against me and not against my ex-wife or my kids or my cousins or some other mm-hmm. random O'Leary. You know, mm-hmm. it's just.
So if someone wanted to paint you as crazy, they could.
They could, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. People calling in to talk to Chris. Kelsey, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I get it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you so much to Chris for being willing to come on the air and share this nightmare. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to share that in general, let alone on the air, all us listeners.
Thank you.
My question, you're welcome, and I'm praying for you and your family. My question for you, how has this affected your faith? I know that you've said that you've basically been shunned by other parishioners in the Archdiocese. How has it affected your faith?
Thanks, Kelsey.
In some ways, it's actually made my faith stronger because I have a really good understanding of Satan and what kind of how Satan operates. Mm. You know, there's no greater prize for Satan than the church, and I'm concerned that Satan has his claws in the church. I haven't been able to go to Mass since Easter 2014 when I had a flashback and just, it was, you know, just like in the movies, it was terrible. But I would consider, I still consider myself to be a Catholic kind of doctrinally because I believe in not just faith, but deeds. But I'm kind of, right now I'm in an open relationship with Jesus Christ where I think Jesus has got a lot of things to say, but if you're into righteousness, you know, I'll listen to you, and I like righteousness above all else.
Brian, thanks for calling. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi. I just wanted to thank the guy for coming on the show, and just want to let him know that I dealt with Father Leroy Valentine a few years later at St. Gabriel School in St. Louis.
I'm sorry.
I was not abused, but I rode around in his car. And I know guys that were boys that rode around in this car, too, and I'm sure that he was checking me out. And it makes me sick to my stomach to think that even years after you experienced this, he was still on the prowl, so to speak. And I probably came very close to having something like that happen.
No,
I graduated St. Gabriel's in 86, and I don't remember what years he was there, but I didn't start. I was an altar boy starting in fifth grade, I believe.
No, that's one of the parts of my story involves a car. He took us to a mud cave trip, and driving back from the mud cave, I ended up riding shotgun, and I've got a memory of waking up from a nap, and I'm aroused, and I look over at him, and he looks like the devil to me. So the whole getting boys in the car, you know, riding shotgun next to him seemed like a big deal, but it was actually how he got it, guys.
Hello, Linda. Go ahead, Linda.
I just want to say thank you. I'm a survivor as well, not a Catholic priest, but my stepfather, who was really into the Baptist church. And I admire you for being able to keep your faith because it has completely destroyed mine at the age of 12.
No, I'm sorry. I've been following the Baptist thing. I've got a lot of survivor friends and, you know, at least the reckoning is coming, but it's no fun for a lot of people.
So, Chris, what would you like to come of this? Would you like other survivors to reach out to you? What can people do?
I'd be glad to talk to people. The biggest thing is I want to get people talking about this. I want to end the cover-up. I want, ideally, the Archdiocese would set up an independent reconciliation and compensation program like has been done mostly on the coast to get people help, because they right now their interpretation of the assistance coordinator promise is they will just give you a name of a psychologist if you don't have one, but they won't pay for anything. They won't pay for therapy, for medication, for living expenses, and you know, just ballpark the consequence this has taken on my life is roughly $2 million, given my IQ and level of education and that kind of stuff. I'm not asking for that, but there are a lot of guys out there who have been really, really deeply affected by this. And at a minimum, the Archdiocese needs to start telling the truth and the smear campaigns. Just start telling the truth.
Do you want people to find you? Do you want to give your info?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you're on Twitter, I tweet at Ivan Does Not. You can also just Google my name. I make money by doing baseball stuff. So you can just Google Chris O'Leary. And then the project is chrisoleary.com/sins. Sins of the Fathers is kind of the overarching thing. But, you know, follow me on Twitter. And, you know, I'd be glad to talk to some people. I'm still a survivor. I know some things, but not everything. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on, Chris. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes shy of 5 p.m.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yes.
This is why this show is so great. This, what we have done today, these discussions that we have had, these conversations that we have had, I don't think there's any show in the city that is, that can have as much fun and be as silly and loose as this show. And I don't think there's any show anywhere that has the guts to have these conversations anywhere either, especially as deeply as we go. And it can be uncomfortable and difficult sometimes, but I think it's important. I think they're important issues to talk about, important discussions to have.
I agree.
And wow. This has been a day.
I can tell you just personally, I started this when I was 36. I'm 54 now. October will be my 19th anniversary. And you can't help but mature and evolve and change over 19 years. You just can't. And I still love being dumb and stupid and funny. And if you've ever been to a DGS Live, you know, it's all just jackassery. And I love that. That's still what I and we are best known for. But the older you get, the more you realize, let's say I have another 10 years to do this, 15 years. Like, I want to do something. I want to do something that matters.
Yeah.
And I think silliness matters. People need silly. That's what I've always felt. But when you get a chance, when someone puts a tee on the ball, a ball on the tee, you got to hit it. And what I am proud of with this show, and some of you may disagree, while I have my position, and I'm not shy about it, I think I'm very tolerant of other people's opinions. Doesn't keep me from fighting with people or telling them to F themselves. But I will listen to you. I will be persuaded. Rachel, especially over the years she's been on our show, has persuaded me on things. But look at this show. You've got me, an agnostic, angry moderate. You've got Ryan, who is a devout Christian. You've got Andrew, who's uber, uber liberal. You've got Rach, who is, I think, my assessment, is very much a moderate, you know, 27-year-old millennial female. Tony, Mr. Libertarian, what do you want? What more do you want from a show? Yeah. I mean, my biggest criticism of other shows locally and nationally is it's a silo. You got the same damn thing.
Yeah. It's you don't have different opinions represented.
If you want to show up every day and get your Pez, fine. But if you want to be challenged or intrigued or pissed off, come here.
There is no doubt if you walk in this room, and I, me being the newest member of the show, I can kind of speak to this, that if you're going to come in here and say something and try to make a point, you will be challenged. And that is not the case everywhere. And that's tough. But I also really respect it.
Yeah. And if I were a listener, I would want to listen. And there would be times I'd get mad. There might be times I'd turn it off.
Yep.
But I'd rather listen to something like this than pablum. So
it's been a heck of a couple hours.
I'm exhausted.
I know.
Now we play Blorg and Narg Narg.
Yeah, we have Paranormal coming up.
Paranormal Wednesday.
Yes.
What?
I'm excited.
How did this happen?
This guy is a professor of physics at the University of Albany, a former NASA research scientist,
yes,
who believes that UFOs are real.
Yes.
Yes. You mean confirms that UFOs
confirms, are real. Yes. Belief isn't really a part of it.
Yeah, I didn't even know when we started talking to him that he worked at NASA.
Yeah.
He was a professor of physics, which is why I'm like, oh, you legit. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I worked at NASA for 4 years. Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. UFOs are real.
Yeah.
Says NASA. That's what I just heard.
Now we have to challenge him, though, because we have a reputation.
Yeah.
Well, when something's just established fact like that, we don't need to debate about
it. Have Andrew come in and tell him that his opinion's not okay. You're like, I'm sorry, what?
We can agree to disagree. No. That's not what I said.
Tell him to tell it when he does the phone call. Hey, just so you know, before you go on the air, you're wrong.
These guys are monsters. Our buddy Amir says, and Dave invites Muslims on the show.
Hell yeah, dude. 100%. Can I brag about a couple of ways I've evolved?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So, all of you in the audience, especially Rach, has been my personal counselor through this. Phoebe, growing up, has been hard. And Tony, you went through this with
Grace,
but you did it much better. So she came home last night from Six Flags. She'd been there all day with her crew, went to the water park, went to the thing, rode the ninja, ate hot dogs, probably saw a cute boy, the whole Megillah. And I was really super happy. 2 years ago, Dave, 2017, Dave, would have said he was happy, but would have been salty because it wasn't about me.
Right.
Like,
wow. that you weren't the one that showed her the best time.
Yes.
Like, dad's the one. If you want to have fun, you got to hang out with dad.
Absolutely.
Dad's going to, yes. And then you were, and you'd be upset that she could have that fun without you.
It's maybe.
I get it.
Maybe
it's totally get it.
Only an evolution because I started as such a troglodyte.
Yeah, we're about almost where you should be at this point.
Yes, which I completely acknowledge.
I think every dad has those feelings.
Here's another way that you'll all appreciate. I watched a show over the weekend about early civilizations, and they had a thing about, what's it called? Volcanic rock that you make knives out of. What's that called? Obsidian. And obsidian knives.
Oh, yeah, obsidian knives.
So what do you think I did?
You bought some obsidian knives.
I went to eBay.
Yeah.
And I looked them up and found the guy that makes the most expensive obsidian knives. And
killed him.
He wanted like $300 for it. And so I made him an offer of like $220.
Yeah.
And he came back and said $250.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I going to do with an obsidian knife?
I didn't buy it.
Oh, yes. Did he ever mess up? He had a sale.
I kept going back like it was porn. I kept going back to my bids and offers and seeing it. And it's just 10 more hours, 7 more hours, 8 more minutes. I'm like, oh!
I'm really proud of you.
I can't believe you didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.